W228 EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. The Federal Reserve just released its final report of the year and decided to leave its benchmark interest rate unchanged for a third straight time. It's a sign its roughly two-year battle with high inflation could be over soon. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
Inflation has come down, and that is a very good sign, but they're not going to cut rates until inflation comes down to their target. So they're going to hold rates until they feel like many more components are moving lower.
CBS's Jason Brooks looks ahead.
The central bank's updated forecast, however, is projecting three rate cuts in 2024, which is more than some market analysts have been anticipating. And that would have a big effect on mortgage rates, which are at a two-decade high. Despite the forecast, the Fed maintains that it could still hike rates if risks emerge, affecting the Fed's goal to bring inflation down to 2%.
For now, the rate remains unchanged. It's the Fed's third pause since July. CBS News Special Report. I'm Monica Ricks.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The University of Wisconsin Board of Regents is set to vote today on the same deal with Republican lawmakers it rejected Saturday. Among other things, it would trade more modest diversity efforts for employee pay raises. The Journal Sentinel tweets Amy Bogost may flip her vote. The League of Women Voters is against a resolution in the state assembly to dissolve the Wisconsin Elections Commission. The league's Deborah Cronmiller says the agency doesn't need to be shut down.
I think that this is functioning government that, you know, certain legislators are just wanting to take that power and make it not function.
Conservatives and other conspiracy theorists have targeted the Elections Commission ever since Donald Trump lost the 2020 presidential election. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A lawsuit against an Augusta police officer over accusations of excessive use of deadly force has been dismissed. Augusta officer Levi Stumo shot and killed Tyler Meyer in 2019 after Meyer came to his farm naked and acting erratically before attempting to strangle Officer Stumo. Eau Claire County Deputy Daniel Easton reportedly tased and pepper sprayed Meyer to little effect. Stumo then shot him, saying he feared for his life. A wrongful death lawsuit regarding the incident is still active in Eau Claire County. Proposed bills in the Wisconsin State Assembly seek to improve conditions for inmates in the state. One bill authored by Eau Claire Democrat Jody Emerson would require a minimum of 4 15-minute bathing periods per week with heated water for at least 10 minutes. One would require inmates in county and state correctional facilities to receive a minimum 3 hours of outdoor time per week, and one would require all inmates that perform labor to be paid at least $233 per hour. The package contains 17 bills in total. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Even Republican women, when they walk into that booth, that reversal of RVW is going to walk in with them because that cuts to the very essence of what a woman is and what she can be and what she can decide. To speak in Wisconsin terminology, the reversal of Roe v. Wade is the right bower for Democrats. That's a Euchre reference.
That is spot on. You nailed it, John Roach, once again.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's the Bucks and the Pacers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks host the Indiana Pacers tonight in Milwaukee. The Pacers have beat the Bucks 3 out of the last 5 times the teams have met. Bucks forward Malik Beasley says, in some ways, this Bucks team is still getting to know each other.
I mean, I feel like we've been pretty good overall in the clutch as a new team. You know, it ain't always easy to win games. And I think that's still, we have high expectations, championship and stuff. But, you know, like Coach said last night, we got to win. And, you know, control our situations better in between the game, first, third, second quarter, to prevent those type of situations. But, you know, we're ready for late game situations if need be.
NFL, the Packers could be short at wide receiver this week when they face the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Dontavian Wicks told reporters he may have a high ankle sprain. Jaden Reed said to be in the concussion protocol. Matt LaFleur.
I think anytime you have more guys that continue to go out, it's also an opportunity for other guys.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 36 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be from the southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 25. Tomorrow, sunshine 45. Then on Friday, mostly cloudy, a few late-day showers with a high right around 43. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5, The Tap. UK.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut
you down. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you live statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're coming right to the front lines of history in the making. One of the blockbuster stories I watched this morning while various congressmen got up to debate impeaching Joe Biden. Now, let me give you a little background on that, what I think is going to happen. As we're going on the air right now, I saw these speeches. Apparently, the vote will be imminent. May break while we're on the air. We'll see. Maybe it'll be right after we go off the air. But remember something. Leading up to this, even Comer, the head of the Oversight Committee, said there's no evidence at all that Joe Biden did anything wrong that would warrant impeachment. Mitt Romney said the same thing. And all of the Republicans, even in the present hierarchy, agree. We don't have the votes right now to actually impeach him. So why are they doing it? And what are they doing? The reason they're doing it is very, very simply, it looks like Donald Trump will be their nominee. He's facing 91 felony counts in multiple courts. 91 felony counts in multiple courts. And even if you're not a lawyer, you kind of get the idea that where there's smoke, there's fire. Somebody is under indictment for 91 felonies in multiple courts with multiple judges and multiple prosecutors. Something's up. He also was impeached twice, once for trying to blackmail Ukraine. It's opening up a false investigation of Biden. And he said, I'm not going to send you any even defensive military weapons unless you do it. Sacrificing the Ukrainians. And the second time, he launched an insurrection where at least five people were killed that day. Several more died afterwards. More than 140 Capitol officers had serious injuries. Several were brain damaged. Several retired. This was launched by Donald Trump. He ginned up his crowd to murder his vice president. They said, hang Mike Pence, and they built a gallows, and that gallows was not built that morning. If you look at that gallows, they didn't just whip that together with tools in their trunk. They also went through the halls looking to murder Nancy Pelosi, and some congressmen were still trapped on the floor, and Trump was back in the White House chortling, and when even Kevin McCarthy called him and said, you got to call this off, he said, well, Kevin, maybe they love their country more than you do. He took physical pleasure in the pain of these people. Yeah, he was impeached for that. In the first impeachment for trying to blackmail Ukraine, one Republican senator, Mitt Romney, voted to convict him in the Senate. See, here's the deal. It only takes a majority vote in the Congress, that is the House of Representatives. The whole thing's the Congress, the House of Representatives. But it takes two-thirds in the Senate. Two-thirds of 100 is 67. And nowadays, you're not going to get 67 people agree on anything. Certainly not Republicans. It would have required 17 Republican votes, or I suppose 16 if you say that we had 51, if you count Sinnemann or Manchin. And he wasn't convicted. But in the second one, the second impeachment, having to do with the insurrection, there were eight Republicans that did vote. They did vote to convict him and remove him from office. In other words, I think it was 58 senators, but not 67, voted to remove him. And some of the others said, well, the only reason I'm not going to vote for him, they chickened out, vote to convict him, I should say, is because this was going on right as he left the presidency anyway, and even after he left the presidency. But what it would have done would have barred him from running again, because it would have clearly been based on the insurrection. So they have a flawed candidate. I mean, I'm being gentle about it. I mean, I'm being polite about it. Flawed candidate, 91 felony counts, two successful impeachments, and eight Republican senators joining the Democrats in the second one saying, get this guy out of here. The guy's damaged goods. The guy's damaged goods. So what they're desperately trying to do is mind brand, link in the public mind, words associated with Trump and associate them with Biden, like the word impeachment. The average person doesn't even think about it at all. And they may think, well, if you're impeached, it must mean everybody in Congress doesn't like you, did something wrong. That's not true. There'll be no Democratic votes for this. But here's what they're trying to do and the way they're going about doing it. The reason that they're doing it is to try to damage Biden in this upcoming election and help their guy who's a criminal. He's crime on the hoof, walking crime scene. Everybody that helps him ends up in jail or pleading guilty. But the way they are doing it is very sneaky. And here's what I'm talking about. George Santos has left the Congress. He can't vote. So their margin is down to, say, 220. George Santos is gone. There's a guy named Johnson in Ohio who's leaving. I don't know if he's left right yet, but he's leaving pretty quick. And then you have Kevin McCarthy leading on December 31st. So they're desperately trying to get it through because it's going to take 218 votes. And they only have two to spare. And when McCarthy goes and Johnson goes, they're not going to have anything to spare. That's why they're doing it. They also have a problem. There are at least four Republicans in New York who were elected on Democratic seats. Joe Biden won one of them by, I think, 14%. And the New York's highest court just ruled just now that they can gerrymander the maps in New York, which will effectively make it almost impossible for Republicans to hold those seats. So if they have any chance of holding them, to say that they impeached Joe Biden, that's not going to be liked. I don't like it. They're not going to like it. The constituents aren't going to like it. So here's the message Mike Johnson is putting out. He's a very sneaky guy. He speaks very softly and weaselly. He doesn't appear violent, but he's a very, very sneaky guy. He says, we're not voting to impeach him. We're just voting to continue the investigation so we can issue subpoenas that will be honored. We don't have the evidence to impeach him right now. Okay, let's hold the phone. They've had tens of thousands of documents. They have grilled everybody connected with Hunter Biden up the wazoo. This is all about Hunter Biden. And it's very, very clear that there is no evidence, and it's not true, that Joe Biden had anything to do financially with any of Hunter Biden's businesses, didn't benefit from it. Hunter Biden's come out and said that. And then there's an added awkward fact. Back in 2019, when Trump was president and they were impeaching him, the Democrats, on Ukraine, here's some of the things that Mike Johnson said. You may have seen a smorgasbord of these things on television. You know, quote, the founding fathers were against, strongly against, one-party impeachment. If there's going to be impeachment, both parties have to be behind it. Also, he said, it's only 11 months to the next election. Why don't the people decide in that election? But he kept on saying that somehow it was a constitutional requirement, which it isn't, that there can't be a one-party impeachment, because in this one, they'll get no Democratic votes. The funny thing he's overlooking is that in the impeachments of Trump, it was bipartisan. Even on the Ukraine impeachment, Mitt Romney voted to convict him. In the insurrection impeachment, 8 senators voted to convict him who are Republicans, and many, many Republican congressmen voted to impeach him. The senators, of course, voting to convict him. But it's 11 months to the next election. So Johnson, if you really believe that, of course, he doesn't believe it. He was part of the steal trying to overthrow the election. Doesn't care about the Constitution, doesn't know the Constitution, doesn't have a bank account, doesn't believe in the separation of church and state. This guy should not be 2 heartbeats away from the presidency, I'll tell you that. He should not be 2 heartbeats away from the presidency. But the same issues apply that he said then. It's 11 months to the next election. They don't like one-party impeachments, neither do I, so let's not do it this time. Now, here's the deal. I've got a message for these vulnerable Republicans, and they're not only in New York. Some of them are in California. A couple of them are here in Wisconsin. Now, people like Tiffany and Fitzgerald, Grothman, are in districts. They could be in prison and they get reelected if they were Republicans. It's gerrymandered. But Stile in Janesville is in a district that once was held by Les Aspin. And Gallagher is in a district in Green Bay that was once held by a number of Democrats, including Father Bob Cornell, a friend of mine. And if they think that they're going to vote to impeach Joe Biden and go back and claim, well, it wasn't really to impeach Joe Biden, it was to sort of help the inquiry where we've already said there's no evidence. If that's your line, let's ram it down their throats. Everybody out there who's involved in any races in Wisconsin, if they try that smarmy business, stick it right down their throats. It's thoroughly dishonest. It's injuring the country in the middle of 2 wars. Coming up, you won't believe what the people who resigned from the Republican Youth Advisory Council have said.
Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
1 in 4 Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at easterseals.com.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap. K.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn, Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the Lions. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend, thanks for calling. Gene, what's in your mind today?
Oh, thank you so much for this subject, Matt. This is great. Yeah, I've been watching, and I just can't believe it, but I think we need to put those Republicans on notice that we are watching and recording and paying attention to their activities, to include those who voted not to accept Wisconsin's results, election results, even after the insurrection. Those who were not in office, who were attending the insurrection, and those behaviors, and maybe some of them that were involved in the fraudulent fake electors issue in the state of Wisconsin, those of you, give them a call and say, hey, we're watching, we're recording, and we will definitely be getting the information to the people in those districts, because I think that a lot of people don't still understand. They don't cover it real well in local news of what exactly happened here, because I think most Republicans and independents will not vote for people that the only way they'll win is by lying and cheating and supporting a criminal. So that's my two cents for the day. Thank you very much, Matt. Keep up the great work. Bye.
Yeah, excellent call. And you know something? I want to build on that, and then I'll get to the next caller right now. But more than 150 members of the House of Representatives, all Republicans, voted not to certify Joe Biden. More than 140 of them, I should say. Kevin McCarthy voted not to certify him. I can't think of a single Republican in office right now who is in office back then in Wisconsin who did. They would not vote to certify him. And now they're all high and mighty going, let's impeach him after we said we're not going to certify him. That can't go down. That can't be permitted to stay. Period, end of story. I agree with Gene. Call them up. Say you voted not to certify Joe Biden. Now, some of them weren't in office at the time, like Van Orden. He'll claim, well, I wasn't in office. He would have voted not to certify him anyway. But if Van Orden or any of these people, and they all will, vote to impeach Joe Biden, tell them they're out of here. They don't represent Wisconsin. They represent Republican donors. They represent Trump, and therefore they represent Putin. Traitors to the United States. Adrian and Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Adrian. What's in your mind today?
Hey, Matt. Now, in Wisconsin, here in our criminal procedure, we have a tool called the preliminary hearing, where when a person first gets charged with a crime, a judge reviews the evidence to make sure there's probable cause to believe that person committed a crime. And if there is no probable cause, the judge dismisses the case. Now, don't they have something similar to that in impeachment proceeding where it will prevent the Republicans from trying to file impeachment proceedings against Joe Biden when they have absolutely no evidence that he did anything wrong?
That's a fascinating question, Adrian. And let me give you the background and the history on that one. Adrian is exactly right. In Wisconsin, in most states, there's a thing called a preliminary hearing. So if the DA charges you with murder, they charge you with bank robbery or something, you have a hearing and the judge has to sit. There's no jury. And the prosecutor has to lay out his case, why I can prove this beyond a reasonable doubt. The defense doesn't have to put on any evidence, and they very rarely do. The defense is only there to learn from the prosecutor what facts they have on their guy. And a defendant can waive a preliminary hearing, and they frequently do for reasons we don't need to get into. But there is a preliminary hearing if the defendant wants it, and unless the defendant waives it, there will be one. And the prosecutor, but not the defendant, are required to put on some evidence. So Adrian's question is an excellent question. why don't they have something similar for impeachments? Because there's no evidence against Joe Biden. Mitt Romney said it. James Comer, the chair from Kentucky, a right winger of the Oversight Committee, said, no, we don't have enough here. This Bacon, that's his name, believe it or not, Representative Bacon of Nebraska, said Republican, there's no evidence here. The fact is, however, that an impeachment is not a criminal proceeding. If it were a criminal proceeding, there would be some kind of initial showing where the prosecution would have to make a showing. Here, remember, of the Republicans who may vote to impeach him, and it's going on right now. It could happen today. Probably will happen today. 140 of them betrayed the United States by not voting to certify Joe Biden. Now they want to impeach him. They don't believe in the peaceful transfer of power. They do not believe in the peaceful transfer of power. So unfortunately, there is no thing like a preliminary hearing. There's no initial showing. What there is the Constitution. And the Constitution says for high crimes and misdemeanors, that's a term of art from the 19th century, actually the 18th century. And so don't get hung up on it. But basically, it does imply that somehow there's got to be some wrongdoing. But let's look at the history of impeachments. Andrew Johnson, the vice president for Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln is assassinated. Andrew Johnson was basically a sympathetic to the South. I forget if he claimed he was a Republican or still a Democrat, but back then he was a segregationist. And when Lincoln was assassinated, Johnson became president of the United States. April of 1965, or 1865. And he was there for 3 years, 1868. What he did was he tried to undo everything that Lincoln had done. He basically withdrew federal troops, let them murder black people, let the Confederates get together and do the Ku Klux Klan. And what he did, they impeached him. Remember, there was an abolitionist Republican Congress. They impeached him. Went to the Senate, and by like one vote, a couple of votes, they didn't get the two-thirds. And John Kennedy, in his famous book, Profiles in Courage, puts Johnson's case in there and says that the senators who voted not to convict him were courageous because of the damage it could do to the presidency. And I love John F. Kennedy, but I don't agree with him at all. I would have voted to throw the skunk out. Fortunately, Ulysses Grant got elected in 68 and sent federal troops back into the South and broke up the Ku Klux Klan. So what high crimes and misdemeanors did Andrew Johnson commit? Well, not a criminal offense, but what he did was he tried to reverse the Civil War. That went over real poorly. The next one is Richard Nixon. And he was told by Republicans, we will impeach you and we'll convict you, because the Democrats had two-thirds of the Senate then. They did, two-thirds. And some Republicans go along with it. So Nixon chickened out. He resigned, and he cut a deal with Gerald Ford to pardon him from any crimes, which were considerable, that he'd done. And that was one thing that cost Ford the presidential election in 1976 against Jimmy Carter. Then you have Bill Clinton. He's impeached. He's not convicted. What's he impeached for? They tried to gin up a sex thing. They were investigating the Whitewater real estate scandal. And this guy, Ken Starr, unethical as heck, starts asking about his sex life. If you asked any of the Congress their sex lives, they would shrivel up and you could smell the sulfur as the devil took them away. Anyway, I don't want to get on this, but no, there's no preliminary hearing, unfortunately. Coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather, and the regents are going to do a do-over vote on DEI at 5 p.m. today. It's getting better.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin voters may someday choose their candidates for Congress in a very different way. A bipartisan ranked choice voting bill got its first hearing before a state Senate committee yesterday. Under ranked choice voting, all candidates for U.S. House and Senate would appear on a primary ballot together, regardless of their party. The top five candidates would advance to the general election. Maine and Alaska do it this way. Property taxes are expected to go up an average of about 4.7% in Wisconsin. On the other hand, the new state budget added about $250 million to the school tax levy credit and boosted the lottery tax credit by $16 million. That means the typical property owner is actually seeing bills go up by closer to 2 or 3%. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire students are recycling plastic bags and turning them into sleeping mats for the homeless population. According to a WQOW report, the students use the plastic bags collected by the university's residence halls to crochet them and use them as part of the sleeping mats. The students will also donate the mats to the Sojourner House. They say it's a good way to build a bridge between the university and the community and plan to host another event for it in the spring. The Universities of Wisconsin Board of Regents will vote again on a deal to reduce diversity, equity, and inclusion spending in exchange for the release of already approved pay raises. The board previously rejected the deal with a 9-8 vote over the weekend, but announced they would vote again on the proposal after a closed meeting on Tuesday morning. According to an Associated Press report, Regent Amy Blumenfeld-Bogost, who voted against the deal on Saturday, is now requesting that it be adopted. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Timeout!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's the Bucks and the Pacers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks host the Indiana Pacers tonight in Milwaukee. The Pacers have beat the Bucks three out of the last five times the teams have met. Bucks forward Malik Beasley says, in some ways, this Bucks team is still getting to know each other.
I mean, I feel like we've been pretty good overall in the clutch as a new team. You know, it ain't always easy to win games. And I think that's still, we have high expectations, championship and stuff. But, you know, like Coach said last night, we got to win. And, you know, control our situations better in between the game, first, third, second quarter, to prevent those type of situations. But, you know, we're ready for late game situations if need be.
NFL, the Packers could be short at wide receiver this week when they face the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Dontavian Wicks told reporters he may have a high ankle sprain. Jaden Reed said to be in the concussion protocol. Matt LaFleur.
I think anytime you have more guys that continue to go out, it's also an opportunity for other guys.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 36 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be from the southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear, 25. Tomorrow, sunshine, 45. Then on Friday, mostly cloudy. A few late day showers with a high right around 43. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
If I could be you.
And you could be me. For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap UK.
Welcome
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there's a big vote today. Big vote today. Board of Regents, University of Wisconsin. And the word is they are going to reverse their decision over the weekend on Saturday to turn down the so-called deal with Robin Voss and the Republicans for funding of the university. Let me give you the reasons why. Let me tell you what's at stake. Let me tell you my view. 9-8 is a very, very close vote. There are several of them that have now asked for a revote. One of them is a woman, a regent named Amy Bogost, B-O-G-O-S-T. And on Saturday, she voted against the deal. But now she's voting to have another vote. She's calling to have another vote. When somebody votes against something and they prevail by one vote, and then a few days later they go, I guess I want to vote again, that to me signals a real likelihood that she's going to vote the other way, and then it'll be 9-8 or even maybe more to accept the deal. And that's why I say that this vote at 5 p.m., roughly 5 p.m. today, I think may be different from the vote on Saturday. Now, what's at stake? At stake is about $800 million to the UW, much of it for raises for 35,000 employees of the UW system. There are something like 70 or 80,000 employees of the state statewide, and half of them got raises, but not the UW. That was a disgusting tactic. Even LeMahieu, although he didn't do anything about it, he's the majority leader in the Senate, said, hey, people that shovel the snow, janitors, people that mow the grass, people that repair the boilers and all that, what do they have to do with DEI? It's not fair. And my response is, yeah, it's not fair, Jack. So why don't you do something about it? You're the majority leader. I know what I'd do if I was the majority leader. But maybe he worked behind the scenes. I don't know. In any event, the $800 million would also include the money to build projects around the state for the UW, including Madison's engineering building, which is absolutely essential. Madison has a nationally recognized world-class engineering program. We need engineers. Many of our engineers stay in Wisconsin, and there's no better engineering school to go to. There really is not. It was a no-brainer to begin with. In return, the UW would freeze DEI positions through 2026 and realign, it's called, some of those currently in those positions to other matters. And in other words, nobody loses job. The one thing that I think is problematic, and I'll explain why, is there was an initiative to hire more diverse faculty and staff. Now, there's a very thin line between saying, okay, I'm going to end an initiative to hire more diverse faculty and staff, and then when there's no initiative, subconsciously discriminating against applicants who are minorities, who are very competent. The problem is that left to their own devices, a lot of people have inner prejudices. And if they don't have it right in front of their eyes that they should consider qualified people of all races, they innately and implicitly sometimes do not. That concerns me. Another thing that some people had opposed, but I'm beginning to think it may have some merit, is the UW would agree to admit to the UW system, other than Madison, anybody who graduates in the top 10% of Wisconsin's high school classes. And for Madison, it's anybody who graduates in the upper 5%. Now, let me tell you something. If you take the best high schools in the state, certainly the Milwaukee area, that would be Whitefish Bay, Shorewood, Marquette University High, University School, I think Brookfield East, I mean, there are a whole bunch of them. And then in Madison, Madison West, and there are others, and I'm sure there are great ones around the state I'm less familiar with. If you're in the top 5% in those classes, you're going to get into Madison. But there are many high schools where there's a heavy population of people of lower incomes. They would be first-generation college. They have absolutely no encouragement at home to go to college. They have absolutely no preparation for the SAT, the ACT, that kind of thing. But if they're in the top 5% in those schools, they can go to Madison. Top 10%, they can go to UWM. They can go to Stevens Point, go to Eau Claire, La Crosse, Oshkosh, Stevens Point, etc. That's one way, frankly, to integrate UW-Madison, not just ethnically, but socioeconomically. I don't care what your high school is. If you're in the top 5%, you go to Madison. Quite frankly, they should put UWM in that category. UWM is a tier one research university. There are thousands of universities in this country, thousands. But there are only 150 that are top tier research, and there are only two in Wisconsin. That's UW-Madison and UWM. But if you can go to any of those, any school in our system, you're going to have a wonderful life and a wonderful career. A couple of other things, and this bothered me a lot. Voss said, he started chuckling, he said, "We are not going to give the raises," end quote, "other than through this deal." I'm tired of Republicans threatening wages. They threatened unions to get out of wages, to get out of wage increases, and they were successful with the gerrymandered legislature and Scott Walker. There's Act 10 and Right to Work. And what killed me is Right to Work passed in Michigan and Wisconsin, two auto-producing states, two of the most unionized states in the country. What happened? We were asleep at the switch. They did it to drive down wages and, frankly, drive down safety conditions. They don't care. But for this clown to say, we're not going to give the raise, who the hell is he? What do you mean, give the raises? The legislature passed the raises and Evers signed the raises. That's conclusive. Having Voss say, "I've still got to bless the wages," get out of here. Get out of town. That's why Evers started litigation. It'll go to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. I think even without this deal, the wages would come through. But the engineering school wouldn't come through. We need the engineering school. And then we have this. They demanded, and as part of the deal, I think the UW will agree, to set up a chair position to focus on conservative political thought, classical economic theory, or classical liberalism. They don't know what they're talking about. This legislature is dull, absolutely dull. They don't know what they're talking about. Now, if they're talking about, well, we need one guy in the biology department who will oppose evolution and somebody in the medical faculty who want to oversee what surgeries are appropriate, this is crazy. So then they're going, well, no, it just says conservative political thought. What does that mean? If you are a serious college student and you're a serious professor and you're going to take a course in philosophy, political science, political philosophy, economics, we do not want a professor who says, don't read John Maynard Keynes. Don't read him. Don't read what Roosevelt relied on to get us out of the Depression, because that's liberal. But go back to Adam Smith, who wrote in the 18th century, for Pete's sake. And there are several other, Ricardo and others in the 19th century. Hold the phone. I have buddies who are economics professors. One buddy who was the chairman of the economics department. You read all of that in the University of Wisconsin system. All of it. You'll read Adam Smith, Ricardo, and the rest of them. You'll read John Maynard Keynes. And then you'll make up your own mind. They want to restrict the reading list. All right, a philosophy course. What's conservative philosophy? Are you going to read Plato and Aristotle? Probably. You can read Nietzsche? Probably. You can read Hegel? No. Jean-Paul Sartre? No. What kind of philosophy is that? Read all of it. See how it built one on the other. This business of trying to dictate the curriculum by people who are intellectually incompetent, not by any means the sharpest knives in the drawer at all, is wrong. They're picking little, they'll say things like local control, get government out of my life. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't believe in local control. They override everything. They don't believe in privacy. They've taken away a woman's right to privacy. They do not believe in keeping the government out of your life. The biggest handouts have been to companies. They don't believe any of it. But the average people in the base hear these things. They don't know what they mean. So they're going to hear, oh, there's going to be a conservative guy who's going to go in there and only go on conservative thought. You don't know what conservative thought is. You don't know what classical liberalism is. You haven't even heard the term, some of them, before. This is what's going on. This is what's going on. Now, here's the data. Underrepresented minorities in the UW system are, and by that it's would be considered African American, Latino, Asian, and so Native American. It's less than 15%, about 14.5%, roughly, real roughly, of UW students and roughly faculty, or would be in that category. However, there's wide disparity among the categories. With Black students, it's between 2 and 3%. Latino students is far higher. Non-white faculty has gone from 10.8% to 20.2% in the last couple of years, but much of that is hiring people of Asian descent. To talk about underrepresented minorities is intellectually dishonest. People are not conglomerations. They're individuals. They're actually individuals. One of the problems, and here's the problem as I see it. When they got rid of peer review, they got rid of faculty governance, they wanted to get rid of tenure. This is done by people like Walker, who are not intellectually competent, not educationally competent. They don't know what they're talking about. It hurt the university. But what's happening is with the DEI, this is one thing that they should be concentrated on. It's been weaponized in other places like Harvard, University of Pennsylvania, MIT, the Ivy League, basically, a lot of private universities, to exclude Jewish students, to introduce anti-Semitism on the campus by bringing in foreign students from locations that, frankly, are autocratic. They're not democracies, but they also hate Western civilization, and they hate Israel, and they hate Jewish people. They're anti-Semitic. And you're seeing that all over the universities right now. You saw it in Brown just now, where they arrested kids who were shouting against Israel, the shouts of Intifada, genocide the Jews, and all that. I do not want DEI weaponized in Wisconsin in that matter, but I do want good Wisconsin people and other applicants who are of different racial minorities to be able to come here. And what the Republicans have done is taken a broad brush, absolutely intellectually incompetent, trying to screw up the curriculum, try to do this by numbers, and then lump all minorities together. Here's my admonition. Keep out DEI that's weaponized to discriminate against majority people and against Jewish people, but keep it to make people in underrepresented minorities feel welcome and safe in the university. Okay, coming up, Trump is facing a threat, believe it or not, from the Freedom Caucus.
Not just Kevin Stone. 93.5 The Tap. Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt and Rick. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, this is a very interesting schism in the Republican Party. I didn't anticipate this. But at some point, Trump is coming down. Might as well be this way as anyway. The Freedom Caucus, the House Freedom Caucus, elects a chair. The present chair had been Scott Perry, who's essentially a criminal from Pennsylvania. He asked Trump for pardon. Trump didn't give him a pardon, but he met with Trump. He was one of the principal organizers of the insurrection. One of the principal organizers of the insurrection. There was a vote to succeed him. And unopposed, there was elected Bob Good of Virginia. Now, I have a very low opinion of Bob Good. I've seen him speak on television. He's a very menacing, uncompromising individual. He was behind the insurrection, too. He is as right-wing as anybody in the Congress. Anybody. Matt Gaetz, Paul Gosar, Marjorie Taylor Greene, any of them. Utterly irrational on the subject. But there is one characteristic he has that Scott Perry and a lot of the others do not have, and that is this. He doesn't endorse Trump for president. He has endorsed enthusiastically DeSantis for president. Now let's hold the phone on that one. I don't want DeSantis either, of course, but this is a guy, and it's not because he has principles. Let's be clear about that. The guy, I'm not saying he has principles, but here's what he said. He said that DeSantis was more of a, quote, true conservative, end quote, and that Trump had baggage. Baggage. Oh, really? Because of the criminal charges against him. Trump has more baggage than the carousel at General Mitchell Field. Trump walks into a room and two guys with him get indicted. Walks in another room. Two other guys have their cell phones seized by the FBI. I mean, this guy is right out of an Inspector Clouseau movie as the bad guy, or Johnny English. I don't know if you ever saw that. It's a funny movie. You know, the bumbling inspector. Guys are getting shot and arrested all over the place. I mean, I don't know why I'm laughing. It's not funny, but it is in a way. So Bob Good somehow figured this out. Now, if and when Trump becomes the nominee. And by the way, let me just do a very side note. In all of the polling that you've read, that he's way ahead of DeSantis, way ahead of Nikki Haley, way ahead of this one, that one. The one thing that holds true is when they're asked, if Donald Trump is convicted of a crime by a jury before the election, will you vote for him? Well over 30% of Republicans say no. However I may think of him now, if a jury convicts him of a crime, not a judge, a jury, in other words, not a bench trial, a jury convicts him of a crime, I will not vote for him. And it's all over the 30s. Now, when you have your party's nominee with an ironclad expectation that if he's convicted of a crime, anywhere between, say, call 35% of Republicans won't vote for him, that guy is in real trouble. And let's assume, just for the sake of argument, that he has 91 felony counts against him. That's a real problem. So, Bob Good is for DeSantis because he's allegedly a, quote, true conservative. The funny thing about it is these guys pull the wool over each other's eyes so quick. I mean, it's like blind man's buff. They come and put an eye gag on the guy. Here's the deal. Trump is no more of a Republican than I am. Trump was a Democrat in New York until he ran for president in 2015. His position on choice, fully compliant and to the left of Planned Parenthood. On guns, he was for gun control. You know, and things like support of Israel, he was the honorary grand marshal of the Israel Day Parade in Manhattan. That's a very big deal. This guy was a pure Democrat. He could say, I have some libertarian fantasies, and he had a lot of fantasies. But he was Democrat. So for anybody in the Republican Party to say he's a true conservative, I don't agree with conservatives, but he's not a true conservative. He's for himself. He's on the take. Whoever pays him, Putin pays him. He doesn't love Putin, but he'll pull us out of NATO because Putin paid him. And Putin blackmailed him because he unwisely, in a hotel room in Moscow, Russia, thought that maybe there were no cameras in the room. Somehow the KGB might overlook it. And so they sent some KGB agents, actually prostitutes who were really KGB agents, and he had a good time. And apparently he had his idea of a good time. It would make the hair on a monkey's back stand straight on end if you saw it. So in any event, there's that. Saudi Arabia, they give money. They gave Jared Kushner $2 billion with a B. His slice of that is over $40 million a year. $40 million a year. And just in fees handling the account. When their trainees murdered our sailors in Iowa, about 5 years ago, Trump was president. He went on to defend Saudi Arabia. He said they were just a couple of bad actors. The Crown Prince has assured me that he is very grief-stricken. Have you ever seen the Crown Prince? You think he's grief-stricken? You think when he ordered people to take chainsaws to Khashoggi at the Saudi embassy in Turkey, while he was still alive, by the way, dismantle them with chainsaws, and put them in a bag and send it out of Turkey as a diplomatic pouch. I mean, didn't it smell? Didn't the guy's hand like go, hey, wait a minute, this feels like a leg or half a leg or, you know, whatever. No, this is at least Bob Good didn't endorse him, but Bob Good is no good himself. Coming up, a lot of news and weather. And LeMahieu refuses to get rid of Spindell. I see you on the lines. I see you right there. Do not hang up. Get back to you first thing. First.
There ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will stand my ground. And I won't back down. No, I won't.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in,
Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You are listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief.